This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. There are deep racial disparities in the way police conduct traffic stops in Greensboro. That's according to a New York Times analysis that got front page exposure over the weekend. The data show Greensboro police are more than twice as likely to search vehicles if the driver is African American than if the driver is white. There are also significant racial differences in the way officers use force or charge drivers with low-level offenses. Now, the trend is not unique to Greensboro, but it does raise questions about whether Greensboro is using best police practices and whether an implicit racial bias exists within the department. New York Times reporter Andrew Lehrin helped write the piece. It's called Disproportionate Risks of Driving While Black, and he joins us now on the State of Things. Welcome, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Frank.
There's evidence, of course, of racial profiling in police departments all across the country. What drew you to Greensboro?
We were looking at disparities in how traffic stops are conducted, and you know, one of the interesting things about Greensboro is that it's more representative rather than an unusual place. It's representative in many ways. One of the first things that that you just mentioned has to do with how traffic stops are even conducted and what happens once a vehicle is pulled over. And we looked at particularly at what are known as consent searches. And that's when once the vehicle is pulled over, does the officer ask the driver or someone in the vehicle if they could do a search? Almost all the time, all the literature says the driver says yes. The driver agrees to a consent search. It's the time in policing when the officers have perhaps the most discretion that they can exhibit in the course of a traffic stop. So we were really curious about what happened then.
And what did happen?
Well, what happened is that, at least according to the data collected in North Carolina, and again, we saw these patterns elsewhere, has to do with how well they actually find the guns and drugs and other contraband they suspect might be in the vehicle. So police officers, two or three out of every 100 stops are asking drivers, may I look in your vehicle? And they're doing it because they have a hunch that something is there. They don't have a search warrant like they might have in other stops. They don't have probable cause like they might have in other stops. This is more of a hunch. And then the question is, well, how well do they score? What's their batting average? Do they actually find the guns and drugs? So they're seeking consent searches more often with blacks. And you would expect, well, maybe it has to do with crime. Maybe if all things are equal, then they'll have about the same hit rate finding guns and drugs. But that's not what we found. What we found is that when it comes to finding guns and drugs, police officers might be more selective when they're doing it with whites. They do it at a lower rate, seeking consent searches, but they're far more successful finding guns and drugs on those white searches. When they're searching blacks, they're not scoring at the same levels. It's not even close. And that's what we thought was really interesting, is that they're searching blacks more with consent searches, but they're not finding the guns and drugs.
They're finding more on white drivers. They're more
Correct.
Successful at finding contraband on white drivers, though they are searching them less.
Right. And you'd also think, just in terms of policing, if you, setting aside the racial issue, another concern is also how effectively you're policing. You only have so many police officers to, man hours a day to police your city and try to keep it safe. And, one of the concerns that experts raise is that if you're spending time doing consent searches that are not finding things, then what are the opportunities that you're missing out on? How might you reallocate those police sources to better ensure safety in a community?
Yeah, and let's step back a little bit, because again, you'd find that if you're finding contraband on white people more than black people, if you're going to profile at all, it would go the other way, you would think, once you looked at the data. But let's take a look at the stops in general. Who's getting stopped more as a percentage basis or in overall numbers?
Right. So whether you look at it based on, local driving age populations, or other figures, it appears that, that blacks and are getting stopped more often than whites. One other interesting thing that we found was that you'd think that if you're pulling over a motorist, and you have a reason to pull them over, you'd at least give them a ticket, a citation, a warning. Perhaps there's an arrest. Perhaps contraband is found. You know, all these things might occur in a stop. One of the things we also examined was how often nothing happens. How often does a police officer pull over a motorist and then decide that there's nothing that they can cite them on? And we were finding there as well, you know, blacks were being pulled over, you know, at a higher rate where the officers were not, in the end, citing them for anything.
How does North Carolina, and I know that data collection is one of the reasons that the Times was able to even do this report. We do better data collection in North Carolina than some other states. Can you give us a comparison in terms of the way we collect data in this state?
North Carolina, you know, should perhaps be applauded for the level of public records that it keeps and the availability that it makes this data, you know, so that people who have concerns about policing can go and examine themselves. You know, local media, citizens, they can all get this data. Some of the ways that that North Carolina exceeds other states is, first off, it goes back pretty far. It goes back to the beginning of this century, about 2002. The other thing too is that, you know, you get to see every single traffic stop that's documented, and you do get to see literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of traffic stops over time. And you get to see how things play out, not just whether a citation is issued, but you also get to see whether police used force during the course of that stop, whether police encountered force, you know, whether tickets were issued or whether arrests were made. What you get a sense as well, not in perfect detail, but you get a sense as well about what contraband is picked up.
Well, we talked to this, so this gives every locality and every police agency the opportunity to, as you suggest, examine itself and find out if you've got a really great police department but these disturbing trends, hey, what can we do about this? Well, we spoke to Greensboro Mayor Nancy Vaughn about the statistics, and they do suggest widespread, at least implicit, bias, and here's what she had to say.
I think we have a good police department, and I think it is comprised of really good men and women. But it's made up of individuals, and you can't know what goes through every individual's mind on any given day. I would not say that we have a pervasive problem. No, I would not.
That's Greensboro Mayor Nancy Vaughn. She's responding to a New York Times article that points out racial disparities in Greensboro traffic stops. Greensboro News and Record reports today that the article is one of the top issues at a candidate forum for mayor in the city council. So whether the mayor thinks she's got a problem or not, apparently people who attended this forum think they do. Andrew, you talk about implicit bias here. This is one of the difficult things, and you talk about it in the article. It's a real difficult thing to prove or even in any way demonstrate.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we try to be very careful to saying, look, you know, we're talking about something disproportionate is happening in the way blacks are being policed versus whites. I don't think any of us would lightly try to venture into what's in the hearts and minds of officers. But very clearly, not just in Greensboro, across America, you see concerns being raised about the tensions and damage and distrust that then happens between African-American communities and the police department. Without a doubt, there's, you know, in places like Greensboro, you know, high crime areas, you know, dovetail with where there is a predominantly African-American population. And no doubt there are community leaders there asking for police to deal with the crime issues and with crime issues in those communities. And so, of course, you would imagine it would be reasonable to want a good relations between the community and police. And traffic stops become a point where it seems that distrust can just breed.
Well, and you
found it's a very hard thing to measure, but it's something we hear community leaders and others in the community talking about.
Right. And I think you talked to one officer who said, you know, the traffic code is the police officer's best friend.
Right. That person is a former prosecutor as well. So he's been on the other end of that equation.
And what does that mean? What do they mean by that?
Sure. So I think, you know, anyone who's ever gotten behind the wheel knows that driving is, you know, it's hard to do everything by the book. Perhaps you're fiddling with a station dial to hear us this afternoon, and you go a little bit towards the median painted line. Maybe you, you know, don't quite come to a full stop at a stop sign. Maybe a passenger in your vehicle didn't click their seatbelt right before you, you know, before you started driving, but as you started driving. You know, all those things are infractions. The prosecutor, the former prosecutor you were mentioning, quoted in our story, is saying essentially, look, the traffic code is very long and extensive, and if you want to find a reason for pulling over somebody, all you need to do is follow them for a few blocks or a few miles, and you'll probably come up with a reason for pulling that person over.
All right. Andrew, I've only got about 30 seconds left. Can you give us a brief comparison between Greensboro and Fayetteville? I know that you did that comparison as well.
Well, that's the really interesting thing, is that in Fayetteville, the police chief there is taking an opposite tact. He's deciding, look, you know, the place where we have so much discretion, like consent searches, you know, perhaps we don't need to be doing these kinds of stops, and perhaps we can build better ties with the community. He's doing that, and there's still, you know, now their hit rates when it comes to finding guns and drugs is equal between blacks and whites. So you see the way that he views policing differently.
Yeah. First thing you have to do is take it seriously. Andrew Laren, reporter for the New York Times, co-authored the article, The Disproportionate Risks of Driving While Black. Andy, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we're going to talk to the first former CIA officer to speak out publicly on the agency's use of waterboarding. We'll do it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.